I'd like to read with you in the book of Psalms, please. Psalms chapter 27. Perhaps we could read a verse or two in Psalms 26 first. Psalms 26 and verse number 5. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Chapter 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The book of Acts, please, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, reading from verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. God will bless what we've listened to in this present reading of his word that we read together. A while ago, my wife and I were taking a young sister home from a meeting. She had been baptized recently. And we were discussing with her the concept of the assembly, asking her what she thought of the assembly. Did she have desires of coming into the assembly? Maybe I should just tell you a little bit about her. We used to say that she weighed about 190 pounds soaking wet, but she was one of the meanest girls I think I've ever met. Even the guys that were in the gangs were afraid of her. She was always in fights, and generally she was the winner. But now God has saved her by his grace. There's been a great transformation in her life. She has three beautiful children, and she comes to the meeting on a regular basis. So we're speaking to her about the assembly. She says this to us. I know the assembly is the place I should be, and I have every intention of being in the assembly someday. But she says, not right now. It's okay. Why? She says, well, I have a niece who is going to be 15. And when she turns 15, I gave her my word that I was going to go to what they call, and I'm not sure what the word is in English, but a quinceañera. Which is a celebration that the Spanish people have at their 15th birthday. And she's going to have that quinceañera on a church. And if I told you the type of church it was, you would know exactly, but I won't tell you. And she says, if I go in that place and I'm involved in that quinceañera, I don't think it would be right for me to be part of an assembly and to be visiting a place like that. I said, thank you. She says, well, you have taught us to respect the assembly. And I think that would be disrespectful. I would like to speak to you, with you for a few minutes this afternoon about the Christian's desire to gather with our Lord Jesus Christ in his name. You remember in 1 Samuel and chapter 22, I believe it is, Saul had been persecuting David. David was the anointed king, but Saul was the reigning king. And David has fleeing for his life, and he goes to the cave there in Adullam. And the news gets around that he's in Adullam. And there are those who went up to the cave. They went to where David was. It says that they gathered themselves unto him. What kind of people were they? Well, it tells us they were the people that were in distress. They were in debt. They were the discontented ones. They were the people like you and me before we were saved. They were the people that owed so much to the Lord, so much in debt, so discontented because of our sins, so much in distress because of our sins. But they went to David. And as they went up to David in that rejected place, they gathered themselves unto him. And he was made captain over them. Is that not a little picture for you and me? In that day, people had to make a choice. We follow after the reigning king, Saul. Or we choose to follow after the rejected king, David. And in making that choice, they separated themselves from all others. We will follow after David, and he will be our king, and he will be our captain. You know, that's a little what we have done when we come into the assembly. We have decided that we're going to separate ourselves from Christendom and from everything else that is out there. And we have taken on his name, and we have pledged our allegiance to him and to the place where he has placed his name. And it's a wonderful thing to have that burning desire in your heart daily of being part of an assembly and enjoying the fellowship of God and his people in the place that he has chosen. That's the reason why I read to you in Psalm chapter 26, where there David is describing there was this place where he once was. There was the congregation of the evil people. Those who were constantly scheming, conniving, doing that which was wrong. But then there was that which David wrote about the habitation. I love, he said. For those who are of evil, he says, I hate that congregation. But those who follow the Lord, he says, I love the habitation of thy house. And then we read in the next psalm that David said that one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Here is David, and his interest is in the things of God. Now, there was no temple when David wrote that. But David was looking out into the future, and he was waiting for that moment, that day, when a temple will be built. He was not going to be able to enjoy it physically. But he realized that he wanted to be where God's place was, where God's people were, and where the presence of God was manifested and honored and revered. And so here we have now another man. His name is Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus knew what it was to dwell in the congregation of evil men. He lived among them. He breathed among them. He worked among them. He was part of them. He was a leader among them. And this time, this particular day, as you know, the story opens in Acts chapter 9 where we read, he's breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the people of God. He hates them with a bitter hatred. His whole thought is, if I can just stamp out this religious thing, if I can just stamp out this movement, then we'll be able to get on with life. Remove the restrictions, remove the restraints. And on his way down to Damascus, the very one he hated was the one he met. He met the Lord on that way to Damascus. And he could cry out as he fell upon the ground from his horse, who art thou, Lord? Remember those words that must have rang so true in his heart and in his mind. I am Jesus. I am Jesus. We've been hearing much about him, haven't we, today? Now Saul, as he realizes that this is the one I'm against, and yet he's revealing himself to me as a living person. And it was that moment when Paul realized he was in great error. It was that moment when he was converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Jesus. I was relating that in my thoughts, and I won't go into it because it's already been spoken about this morning. When his brethren came to him, and Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, I am Joseph. And oh, the flood of guilt. And as Judah could say, we are verily guilty. Oh, once they could say, we're true men. But when they were in the very presence of Joseph, the reality of what they have done comes to the fore. All that which was hid in the dark has now come to the light. And they see and realize their guilt. And they realize that in a moment they could be condemned. And in their hearts there was this, no doubt, a desire to run away. And yet there was this longing to fall at his feet. And so it was in the life of Saul of Tarsus, no doubt. He could just fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ when he heard those words, I am Jesus. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Notice that the Lord says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. That never left Paul. Throughout his writings, he brings before us, like no one else, the truth of the body of Christ. You have it in so many different ways presented to us. In Ephesians, he speaks of the church, which is his body. And so Paul thought he was persecuting people. But he had to learn that he was persecuting Christ. Because Christ was in those people. And so we find his life has been changed. He makes his way down to Damascus. He's blind for those 3 days. Ananias comes to him and he receives his sight. And he's baptized. And he begins to preach the gospel in Damascus. He's contending for the one who once he hated. And now he loves. The day came when he takes off and he goes to the Arabian desert. And while he's there in the Arabian desert, he says there in Galatians chapter 1 that Christ was revealed, not to him, but that Christ was revealed in him. There in that desert, alone with God, a pupil, a student, in the presence of the great master, the great teacher. And there he is, and he's learning from the Lord. And God is revealing, pouring in the truths of the doctrines of Christ. He's pouring them into him. And that is the reason why it is from the epistles that Paul writes that we learn so much about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he revealed Christ in him. And that stayed with the apostle throughout his days. And he just shared with us throughout his epistles what God revealed to him in that Arabian desert. But not only did God reveal Christ in him, but as he revealed Christ in him, he revealed that which is so dear to the heart of Christ to him. And what is that? The assembly truce. And they are linked so closely with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the truth of the gatherings. And what it means to gather to him and his person. And again, in Paul and throughout his writings in the epistles, especially in 1 Corinthians, he unfolds to us those things that were revealed to him in that Arabian desert, as God revealed Christ in him. But he went back to Damascus and things began to get very difficult. And as he's in Damascus, the day came when he had to flee. You know, some people have the idea that when you serve the Lord, well, you have to just sort of run around with this long face and life is sort of boring and everything is mundane and nothing exciting happens. Well, that's not the Lord I'm serving. And I don't think it's the Lord you're serving. And it wasn't the Lord that Paul was serving. Paul's life was an adventurous life. Paul's life was full of excitement. Paul's life was full of trials and difficulties. Paul learned what it was to depend upon God. And in the midst of all of that, Paul, one of his flights, he was let down over the wall in a basket. And then he had to go for his life to Jerusalem. And I don't know why it was, but it so happened that news of Paul's conversion hadn't reached Jerusalem yet. Paul got there before the news got there. But I'd like you to just use your sanctified imagination just with me for a moment. That first Lord's Day morning that Paul arrives to Jerusalem, he makes his way to what is now an assembly. He comes there, and if you can picture in your mind as I picture it, he speaks to the elder brethren there in Jerusalem. He says, "My name is Saul of Tarsus, and I have come, and I would like to break bread with you this morning." Gulp. Saul of Tarsus. And they said to him, "Well, we appreciate you being here with us this morning, but there's a nice place right here in the back for you, and we'd like you to sit here if you don't mind." And Saul of Tarsus observed that morning, I no doubt, in the breaking of bread meeting. And may I say, so did all the rest of us. There was a time when we were being taught and we were observing and we were learning that this is the place where God has placed His name, and that in our hearts was that yearning, that desire to be received into the assembly when the time was appropriate. And we thank God for each one of us that have been blessed by being part of an assembly. But Saul that day, when the meeting was over, knowing human nature as I know my own heart, as he walks down the streets of Jerusalem, he could have easily said to himself, "I don't have to put up with this. I've been in Damascus. I've been preaching Christ. I have been confronting the enemy that is against Christ. I was in the Arabian desert and God revealed Christ in me. Do they not know who I am?" And Saul could have walked down the streets of Jerusalem and said, "Goodbye forever. I'll never be a part of that." Could he? Could he have done that? Yes, he could have. But could he? No, he couldn't. You know why he couldn't? Because God had revealed Christ in him. And God made it very clear that there was a place where he had to be to enjoy the presence of Christ. Physically, he could have left it once and for all. But inside of his heart, he knew he couldn't. He would not be happy in any other place. It was the place where God had placed his name. It was the place that God had called him to. And so the next Sunday he came back. And he came back. It was Paul's desire to be part of that assembly in Jerusalem. I don't know how many times. All I can tell you from what I understand about the verb there when it says he essayed, it means it was a continual thing. So the apostle understood that this is where I should be. This is where God has placed his name. And this is where my desires are to be wherever God would have me to be. What is the assembly to you and to me? You know, there was another man, and he got saved a couple of years ago down in Los Angeles. He was in the other end of the spectrum from the first lady I told you about. He was a scientist, a genius. He came to some of our meetings. He got saved. Then he got baptized. He would meet at my house every once a week. We would discuss the scriptures together. And he was talking to me about being in the assembly. And he said to me, Tom, he said, I don't understand this. He said, why don't we just get saved, get baptized, and just come right in the assembly? Why? You know, I said, well, that happens sometimes. But he says, well, why didn't I just come into the assembly when I was first saved? I sought to explain to him the best I could. He was sort of agitated. He said, wherever I go to church somewhere else, he said, all I have to do is walk in. I can sit anywhere I want. Next time he came, next week, he came to me and said, Tom, I've been thinking about that. Said, you know what that made me feel? It has made me respect the place more now than ever before. Yeah, in any other place I can just walk in, but that's just walking in. Now I understand to be received in the assembly as a holy and a high privilege. Again, I ask myself the question, what is the assembly to me? It is interesting that the apostle essayed to join himself to the Christians in Jerusalem continually. But on the same side, on the flip side, we see, first of all, Paul's desire or Saul's desire to be with them in the fellowship. But on the flip side, we see the spiritual discernment of the believers, of the elders in the assembly in Jerusalem. It says of them that they were all afraid of him. And that same verb tense is used, afraid of him. Continually, they were afraid of him. They were concerned. Who is it that we are allowing to come into the assembly here? Who is this person? Is he like Paul wrote later on? Is he a wolf in sheep clothing? He's described to us almost like a dragon in the beginning of this chapter, breathing out threatenings and slaughters, dragon-like in character. I mean, do we want someone like this? Should we preserve the flock from someone that's going to possibly be destructive? That's going to undermine the doctrines and the teachings of the Word of God? Do we need not to put up a protective thing around the assembly as God has instructed us in the Word of God? And so we find that here the elders were using concern. They were using caution about who was going to be received into the assembly. It's not just a club. You don't just get a membership card and come and go as you would like. You come into the assembly to be a contributor. You come in the assembly to be adding to the enjoyment and the embetterment of the assembly. That the assembly is going to be able to be encouraged and enlarged spiritually by your help and your contribution and your presence in the assembly. You see, the coming into the assembly is a very important thing. And the elders were making sure, using caution about those who are coming in, that they would be helpful and be a prophet and be a blessing to the assembly. Notice another thing, if you will, that it says there that he essayed to join himself. What does that word mean? We go way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 2, and it speaks there of that of Adam and Eve. And God introduces what marriage is. He's the one who gives us what the meaning of marriage. It says that the two shall be one flesh, and they shall cleave, join themselves together. And she shall be a helpmeet to him. Now that's the same thought. He's thought to join himself. It was entering into a relationship that was going to be a lifetime commitment. There was another young man, And he was saved, baptized. And quite a bit of time elapsed from the time he was baptized to the time he was received in the assembly. And a young couple who were not too long in the assembly themselves, they went to this young man. They said, "You're saved, right?" "Yes, I'm saved." "You're baptized, right?" "Yes, I'm baptized." "But you're not in the assembly. Why?" This is what he said. He said, "For me to come into the assembly..." He wasn't married at the time. "But for," he said, "for me to come in the assembly is like for me to get married. When I get married, I want God to convince me that that is the person that he wants me to marry. And when I marry that person, I am joining myself with that person for the rest of my life. I am committing my whole life to her and to our family." And he says, "I think coming into the assembly is very, very much the same thing." I appreciated that comment. I value that comment. That young man is now in the assembly. He has been married, and he has a family, and he's very committed to the assembly, and he's very committed to his family, and the Lord has blessed him. And again, I ask myself the question, what is the assembly to me? You know, we remember how that the Paul of Saul of Tarsus was finally received. It says there in verse 27 that Barnabas came. Barnabas was like his letter of commendation. Barnabas brought the news of the tremendous change that was taken place in the life of Saul of Tarsus. And he brings out this in verse 27. He says, he tells them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, spoke of his salvation. It was very clear. There was no question about the fact that this man was a born-again Christian. And then he says about him that he had spoken, and that he had, that's the Lord, had spoken to him. That would speak to us back in the Arabian desert that we made reference to earlier. How that God had spoken and how God had revealed his son in him. That would speak to us not now as a salvation, but it would speak to his doctrine, his belief, what he was given to as a person. And then it says how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. That would speak to us of his lifestyle. Those three important ingredients was the letter of commendation for Saul of Tarsus. He was saved. His doctrine was right. And his lifestyle matched what he was professing and what he had been taught. Isn't this what we desire in the part of all in the assembly? You see, when you interview someone for the assembly, I've been on both sides of the fence. And there are times when you sit in the interview and you have no doubt in your mind ahead of time. You know this person is ready. You're just glad that they're asking for reception. There's that ring about them. There's that trueness about them. And you're anxious to speak with them. But there are times when you sit in an interview and you scratch your head and you wonder, is this person really ready? Does this person really understand what the assembly is about? You know, what you believe will affect how you live. With this, I close. On this September the 11th, 2001, there was a group of men who believed that if they drove planes into towers, that immediately when they die, they would go to a certain heaven. They believed that with all their heart and soul. And their whole life was shaped and molded and prepared for that one, what they thought was a glorious moment. That's what they believed. That's what they lived. And that's what they did. How much more we who have the truth of the Word of God, the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we believe it, as we live it, and as we exhibit it in our lives,
What a thrill it is to bring all that into an assembly and be able to enjoy the fellowship with God's people in the place where He has placed His name.